You're listening to The Work-Life Equation, the Bright Horizons Family Matters podcast for busy working families. Whether you're a working mom, a dad, or you're busy caring for other family members, we've got tips for how to fit jobs and families together and for how to make your work-life equation add up.
I'm Lisa Oppenheimer, and today we're talking about parental leave, specifically how to go out and come back with your confidence and your career intact. We know that's not so easy. Leaving a job for a few months can feel pretty intimidating, and we've heard from parents who tell us they're worried about what leave and parenthood might mean for their futures. But my guest today tells parents to take heart. It is possible to do it well. Karen Rubin is Managing Director of Talking Talent, and she's coached managers and leaders at top companies on successful careers after parenthood. She's here today to take us through some very specific steps for how to go out on leave with confidence, and just as important, how to come back. Karen, welcome. It's so nice to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to talk about this topic with you. It's one that's near and dear to my heart. Through Talking Talent, I provide coaching to people who are planning for the parent transition. So just a little background, the company was founded 13 years ago, and since then we've coached about 15,000 people around the globe on this topic. And personally, prior to doing this, I've worked for over 20 years in gender diversity, sales, and marketing, and for companies including DirecTV and Showtime Networks. And I guess the one other thing I want to share is that I am the mother of three girls, and in fact, I had my three kids in 4 years, so I definitely understand the challenges of being a working parent.
And no doubt the challenges of being a working parent and being a parent on leave.
Right, right.
Well, so let's get right to it. My first question is designed to give our audience some hope about this, because I know this can feel so overwhelming. Is it possible to do this, to come back from leave successfully with your career intact?
Oh, it absolutely is. And I work with people every day who are doing that. But I know it can feel really nerve-wracking, especially if you feel like you don't have a moment to spare right now. But I am here to reassure everyone that it can be done, and the way to do it is to be strategic in how you manage this transition. So there are some plans that you can put in place and definitely some conversations you'll need to have. And when you do all of that, you're going to make this process so much easier on yourself, your colleagues, and also your manager. But I think the best, most heartening news is that when you're preparing for a baby, you've got 6 or 7 months to develop and execute on your coverage plan. And compare that to, like, if someone gets sick. So, for example, say you need an emergency appendectomy or one of your parents does. Nobody's getting notice or lead time in those kinds of circumstances.
That is such an interesting point, because I think for most of us, you find out you're having a baby and it feels so immediate, but if you can stop and take a breath and remember that you have a bunch of months to make this work the way you need it to, that's really good advice. But so let's talk about the specifics of the strategy you mentioned. So let's say I'm a mom. I am, but let's say I'm a mom and I've just found out I'm having a baby. What are my first steps? What can you tell me that I should do first?
Okay, so the first thing is to prepare for that announcement. And as tempting as it is to share the news with all your best friends at work, your boss should really get the news from you first. A really common question that I'm asked is, when should I make that announcement? And what I'll tell you is it's most common for people to do it around the end of their first trimester or maybe the beginning of the second. And that's when the risk of miscarriage is lower and before it becomes really obvious that you've got a bump underneath those clothes. So try to set up some time to speak with your supervisor, and you're going to want to do it in person if you can. And the next most important thing is not to be apologetic when you make that announcement. So there's this tendency, especially when people feel guilty about leaving their team with more work, or maybe you're worried that the work won't get handled as well as you could do it when you're gone. So even if you're thinking any of those things, keep that announcement positive and matter of fact. A lot of people say, well, what would that sound like? So I can share with you just a general kind of script that you can use yourself. And
it
might sound okay, because people will say, "Yeah, I get it, but what should I actually say?" So here's sort of just like a boilerplate template. You might say something like, "I've got some great news. I'm expecting a baby in June, and I'm really excited about the addition to my family. And I also want to let you know that I'll be putting a coverage plan in place to make sure we don't skip a beat. I've already got some initial thoughts, and why don't we set up some time to discuss it in about a week?" And this allows your manager just a beat to react to the news, and you're also reminding him or her that you're committed and a dedicated employee. And the important thing for you to know when you're making these announcements, because it's not just your manager, it's your other stakeholders, maybe clients, and everyone's going to have like three big questions on their mind. And they may not verbalize it, but just know that this is what everyone's thinking. They want to know, how long are you going to be away? How is the work going to get done while you're gone? And are you coming back? So you're going to want to reassure them up front in front of any unconscious biases that they may have. And, you know, you're just constantly going to be saying things like, "I want you to know that I'm committed to the role, to our team, to the organization, whatever it is." And whenever you're talking about your upcoming leave, you always want to drop in a mention about when you're coming back. And you're solidifying in everyone's mind the fact that you are coming back. Preparing for leave just leaves people with a lot of anxiety. And, you know, that it's everything from how can I get everything done? How can I make sure I don't become irrelevant? How am I going to make time for all these prenatal doctor's appointments? What's going to be the impact on my bonus or comp package? Is all of this stress going to impact my baby? So I would just say treat this like you would any other important project. Plan for it. Don't apologize or act like you're asking for crazy accommodations, because you're not.
Well, when you talk about planning for it, because you know you've approached your boss and you've said let's talk in a week about about how this transition plan is going to happen. Now, I would imagine if you have plans or designs on a specific way for this to go, you probably have to start making some of that transition plan yourself. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You want to be proactive with that. So a huge component of all of this and really reducing anxiety is putting together a solid transition plan. So the first step to do that is you're going to want to write up your current job description. And the process of doing that alone is helpful in reminding other people about what you're actually doing every day. And the tremendous value that you're probably bringing to the company. And then the next step is chunk up the work. So put it into pieces so that you can develop a recommendation about who should take on all of those individual pieces. And ideally, you're looking for people who have an affinity for that type of work, that have some bandwidth, or maybe somebody who's hoping to stretch themselves or get new visibility. And we find time and again that this is often a great sort of unexpected way to do some succession planning. You're also going to want to prioritize what really needs to happen while you're gone, because there very well may be some pieces of your job that can be put on hold for a while. So anyway, once you've done all of that, you're going to present it to your supervisor because you want to get his or her buy-in. And then from there, the two of you can present it out to your colleagues. A really important piece of all of this is, you know, I know we're thinking about how do you prepare for that leave, but during this time, you also want to discuss how and when you're going to get that work back. So just a quick story about this. I have a friend who worked in a sales role, and she just assumed that she would get all of her clients back when she returned from leave and was really disappointed when some of them stayed with her colleague. So she just assumed her boss would protect her because that was a big part of her comp package, but they hadn't explicitly discussed it. And then sort of part and parcel of all of this is you want to create a paper trail. So you have this conversation with your supervisor, but it could just be a simple email summarizing what you both agreed to and discussed. Because, you know, what can happen is that sometimes in your absence, there is some shifting of roles, and maybe you come back to a different supervisor. So you don't want to leave anything this important to chance. And the one other thing I'm going to say is that you really want to schedule a performance evaluation before you go out. Sometimes, not just women, but just parents in general, but very often women, their commitment to their career is questioned around these years when they're having babies and going out on leave. So it's another one of these unconscious biases, but it's best to clarify where you stand and be sure your manager knows what your achievements are to date. But you want to have these conversations now, get that feedback. And for so many people, when you do this, they leave feeling more confident, and it also minimizes that anxiety while they're out.
Those are great tips. They're so specific and they're so actionable. And I would imagine for anybody listening that is thinking about going out on leave anytime soon, that's got to give them that confidence that you're talking about. So which brings us to the next part of your leave, which is actually going on leave. What advice do you have for people? So you've created your plan and you've had the conversation with your supervisor and you've had a performance review and you've done all of these things. Now you're going to walk out the door. How do you manage your time away and whether or not you're connected, whether or not you're going to be fielding phone calls? What's your advice there?
Well, that is absolutely one of the biggest decisions that you're going to need to make, is whether or not you're going to stay connected and how connected you might want to be. And, you know, if you say you want to be somewhat connected, you'll want to be very clear, like on what kinds of topics. Do you want to just sort of generally stay up to date and know about maybe organizational changes? Or are you the go-to person if there is an emergency? And if you are going to disconnect, you want to make sure that you're sending the message that, yes, you are still incredibly committed to your job and you want to fully immerse yourself in this incredibly special time to bond with your new baby. So one woman that I coached, she shared how for her first maternity leave, she'd taken on a big new role and she didn't feel comfortable delegating certain things and she wanted to be consulted. But then for her second leave, she was more confident that her team could manage in her absence, so she unplugged more. One great tip that's really useful to a lot of people is to establish a gatekeeper while you're gone. And that way, all communications can be funneled through someone, and that person can figure out who could best handle the work request in your absence, sort of like a triage. But the most important thing is you just want to manage those expectations while you're out. So the biggest problems that we hear about is when you and your manager or other team members, you have different ideas about how much contact is appropriate. So, you know, you have to think about balancing your needs, your personal needs, with what's right for the business.
I'm just curious if people should feel comfortable about fully disconnecting. Are there risks to that?
I personally think that you should feel comfortable disconnecting. You don't get too many shots at this in your life. And it's one of those things, like if you've prepared for it, there's absolutely no reason why the company, the team, the work can't go on in your absence. I don't think any one of us is absolutely critical to making the whole organization run. It's how you do it and making sure that you're sending that message that, yes, I'm committed and I want to take this time. And when I come back, I'm going to be picking these things up. And it just, you know, it's like running an internal PR campaign. You want to make sure your brand is intact, that people know what to expect of you, so there's no misunderstandings along the way.
So if you followed your great advice, you are good to go to disconnect, which, and I love that idea because I think it's a really important time as well.
But everybody's different. Some people we talk to say, you know what, it made me anxious to not know what was going on. I felt better checking in. So it's such a personal decision. I don't think there's a right or wrong, but just, you know, whatever you decide to do, own it. And the biggest regret I hear is from people who stayed connected, but they didn't really want to. They did it because they thought they had to. And often, you know, on the back end, they'll say, I wish I hadn't done that. Or when they have maybe another child, they do it differently.
Can we offer hope that once you've been doing this for a while or you move on to a second baby, that this gets easier as you go? Or are there a demonstrable difference between experienced parents and first-timers?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's more of the same, but it's also different. It's again, it's often a time when you realize what's good enough. So I have a friend. This is a true story. She actually had an Excel spreadsheet where she documented everything that went into and out of her baby. So that was every bottle, every meal, every diaper change. And she's a doctor. So at some level, she must have realized this was overkill. But, you know, I imagine, you know, she was working long hours and maybe this just helped her feel like she was in control. But as you can guess, with her second baby, the second one didn't get the same level of analysis.
Yeah, we always talk about that, you know, those old stories about how the first child's pacifier is sterilized by boiling it and the second one is by blowing on it.
No, it is so true. So, again, you know, in this time, it's, you know, even if it's your second or third, like really thinking about what can you do to focus on your professional life before you have that next addition. Maybe it's shoring up your network, making sure you're cultivating those relationships and allies, and letting everybody know what you want for your career so nobody's making false assumptions. And, you know, I have heard from people going out with their second or third that they felt that people were even less confident that they were going to come back or that they'd want to move up. So you want to be sure you're having those conversations to let people know, you know, what kinds of assignments do you want? Ask them for feedback so that you don't fall into that situation of getting, you know, benevolent discrimination where people think they're doing you a favor by taking it easy on you. But actually, you need those experiences and that kind of critical feedback in order to grow and advance.
You have given such incredibly, again, actionable advice. I mean, people have real steps to follow here, but I'm going to ask you for something that's a little bit more inspirational here, because I know people are still worried. This is a big undertaking. What, as a wrap-up, can you give me one piece of information that might help anybody's listening today feel like, I can do this, I've got this?
Oh, absolutely. And it's easier for me because I'm, you know, I'm the mother of three. I've got teenagers. I'm looking through the sort of the rear view, you know, mirror right now. But for me, I can say that being a parent, and personally being a mother, it gave me a calmness that I wouldn't have expected. And finally, you've asked for one thing, but I'm going to give you two. There are gifts to being a working parent, and there's a concept called work-life enrichment, and that's the idea that after you've had like a stressful or aggravating day at work, you can look forward to going home and being with your baby and your family, or when you've been home for a long time, and I know this to be true because I was a stay-at-home mother for about 3 years, you can get itchy to use your brain in a different way, to talk to adults, and to get that acknowledgement and validation that paid work provides. So when you're a working parent, you get to have this full personal life and the loving relationships with your children, and also that intellectual fulfillment from work. In some senses, I find it to be the best of both worlds.
Karen, thank you. That's about all the time we have today. I want to say thanks again to my guest, Karen Rubin. Karen is the Managing Director of Talking Talent. If you want to learn more about Talking Talent, you can visit their website at talking-talent.com.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It's been a pleasure.
If you like what you heard today, get more of our podcast by subscribing. While you're downloading, let us know what you thought. or give us a share. Thanks to everyone for being here. We look forward to seeing you next time as we help make the work-life equation add up.